What I see happening a lot is that we just spread ourselves too thin. If you're doing a little of this and a little of that, you're not going to get the kind of growth that you deserve, right? So if you're dabbling in social media and you're dabbling in, you know, community referrals, you're not likely going to find tremendous success in either one of those buckets. So make a decision, right? You can just do very limited work on social media and really lean into one of these. Welcome to the Nutrition Content Creator Podcast. This is where health and wellness professionals come to nail their nutrition content game, scale their practices, and get clients the results they are looking for. Get ready to unlock your potential as a nutrition professional. I'm your host, Jeannie Petrucci, registered dietitian nutritionist, culinary coach, and expert nutrition content creator. And I'm super excited to go on this journey with you, supporting you with actionable steps you can take to save time and become more competitive. In this podcast, I'll provide you with solutions. I'll be sharing my knowledge and expertise on how to create compelling, dynamic nutrition content that attracts, serves, and retains your ideal clients. Content that also supports you with growing your practice. Let's get into today's episode. Twice per month, I go live in our private Facebook group to hold a Q&A office hour and strategy call. Each event includes a conversation about some type of strategy for utilizing content that drives practice growth. Today's recording focuses on practice growth strategies that don't rely on social media. For the complete recording, you can visit our private Facebook group, Scale Your Nutrition Practice. Simply apply by answering a few questions and you'll be able to join the very active conversations happening there. We are going to be talking about social media, whether it's necessary, whether it's not, and what are some other activities that you can engage in to help grow your practice and expand your practice without kind of being committed to, you know, posting three or four times a day, even three or four times a week for that matter, on social media, because it can be done. And it all comes back to strategy. So why don't we start there? So I'm Jeannie Petrucci. I'm a registered dietitian, culinary coach, and nutrition content creator. I am standing in what was my private practice. I have pivoted away from private practice, but a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with you today and in the free resource that I'm going to provide you was learned on the ground and at the private practice level. So know that these are tested by me personally and also, you know, what we know works on the private practice level. So social media, the biggest mistake that I see nutrition professionals and health and wellness professionals making in social media is showing up because they feel like they have to. I circulated our Friday email, and this was the most responded to email ever. I've been sending it for like 3 years. And I think it just really hit a nerve because a lot of our members find themselves kind of having to be on social media because they think they have to be. And any of you who are quasi-active on social media, you know it takes time. Even with the Living Plate RX content that our members have access to, you still have to edit it. You still have to upload it. You still have to assign music, find trending audio. Like, it's a lot. And I use social media, I would say, moderately. I don't use it heavily because my business isn't dependent on it. But, you know, social media is really now Instagram, Facebook, even LinkedIn really is like your business card. So I wouldn't say that you don't have to be on social media at all, but you don't have to show up in a really big way if it's not part of your strategy. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So the biggest mistake I see is that my colleagues feel like they have to be on social media. And that's not a good feeling, especially if you don't want to be there. So if any of you have felt pressure or you feel like you're posting on social media because you have to, can you just type pressure in comments for me now? Just type in pressure. Let me know if you kind of feel pressure, like you just have to show up. And maybe you're enjoying it, maybe you're not, but either way, it's a lot of work. So that is the number one mistake. And the reason why showing up on social media because you feel like you have to is a mistake is because it's not part of your strategy. If you've listened to my podcast for even one episode or two or several episodes, you know, we talk about strategy a lot because everything points back to that. You need to have a roadmap for how you want to grow your practice. If part of your strategy is to attract clients to your practice using social media, then this conversation is going to be helpful to you because you can also engage in these activities. But you actually will need to buckle up and get busy on social media. And you're probably going to need somebody, an expert, to kind of help you do that. There are several business coaches. We're hoping to have some of them on the podcast soon to kind of support those members who want to expand their practice using social media. But know that if you make that commitment and it's part of your strategy, you are going to have to show up regularly on social media. And because you're, you know, kind of in the healthcare, because you are in the healthcare business, you're going to have to show up, like your face show up, right? Show up on video and show up with messaging and show up sharing with your clients how you're going to solve their pain points. Yes, we see pressure. Yeah, a lot of people. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome. Hi, Marcia. So if you decide that that's part of your strategy, then lean into that. If not, I'm going to provide you with some options today for growing your practice, kind of locally or regionally without leaning into social media heavily. Again, you will have to have some type of a presence because people will look you up, probably on social media, depending on where your clients are, but you don't have to post constantly, right, to attract people. So what are some ways beyond social media that you can grow your practice? First, I'm going to say, because this is the one that drove the most business when I first opened up my practice, is establishing a solid referral process. If you are just opening up a private practice, or you've opened up a private practice and you don't yet have a solid stream of referrals coming in, then this conversation right now is for you, because it can be a significant driver of business when you find practitioners in your area, regionally or locally, who serve the same people, but in a different way. So for example, a GI physician, a GI practice, maybe you are a professional, nutrition professional who focuses on GI conditions and serving that population. Maybe it's fertility nutrition. So you're going to want to connect with a fertility doc, which I did very deeply just with one doc, and she was a solid referrer to our practice. So do a little bit of research. You don't have to find 10 physicians or 10 gyms. Let's say you're in performance nutrition. You don't have to have that many referring colleagues, practitioners to you. Probably just 3 or 4 for one dietitian would be truly more than enough. In our practice, we had about 3 who were very, very active and another handful who would send, you know, a couple of clients per month, but it only took 3. And we had a binder. I forgot to bring it out here. I can see it right here from where I'm standing at the front desk of our practice. We had a binder, and each referring practitioner had a section in the binder. And we had a referral form, which I'm going to show you now, that they would use to refer their patients to our practice. And it really served as a prescription form. For those of you who are in the Living Plate RX community, this form that I'm going to show you, this referral form, is inside of your library in business tools. And we also have a prescription pad as well. So I'm going to add this here so that you all can see. And I'm just going to scroll down. This is a free ebook. The way that you're going to access this free ebook, Hillary, don't worry. I didn't give you the link here because the link is actually on Instagram. Let me just go over here and show you where you can grab this book. You're going to go to my Instagram account at Living Plate, and you're going to come to this post here. The number one mistake nutrition pros make creating social content, right? So this conversation that we just had and kicked off, right? Creating content on social media because you think you have to. And the reason why it's a mistake is because it's not part of your practice growth strategy. So you can just comment on this post, grow. So just type grow and you will automatically get access to this ebook that I'm sharing with you. This is a 15-page ebook. It is significant and it is valuable, and you will be able to use every single one of these strategies like in real time. Like just pick one and go with it. If you, again, if you're a Living PlaidRx member, you're going to see this referral for outpatient nutrition services in your library. And it is editable. So there are ICD codes. Oh, Hillary, thank you so much. That link is perfect. So Hillary just dropped in the link directly to that Instagram post. Hillary, that was brilliant. Thank you so much. And just type grow in comments and you'll be able to get access to this form. Now, see what I'm doing here, by the way. I don't post a lot, but when I do post, I make the most out of the content on social media. Instagram and Facebook are where my clients are. So that's where I post. And if I'm doing an event, I will try and drive traffic there as much as possible so that I can, again, squeeze as much lemon juice out of that lemon, you know, because I'm not particularly fond of being on social media. I do it because I need to show up, but I kind of control it and balance it with where most of my time should be spent. Now, as a private practice nutrition or healthcare professional, this sample referral form that I'm showing you here, this is gold. I promise you. Now, before you do this, we're going to take you to the next strategy for growing your practice outside of social media. Before you do this, obviously, you have to establish some type of relationship with a referring doc. If you already have a relationship or two or three with referring practices, I encourage you to get your hands on this referral form, edit it for your practice, edit the ICD codes to be appropriate for your practice and for the referring doc, of course, and then just take them through it. Go to their office and just take them through. This is how you can refer patients to me. I took this form to Staples and I had them print pads. They were about 50 sheets per pad, paid for themselves like 1,000 times over. So each doctor's office would get two or three pads. And if they continued to use them, of course, I would continue to print them for them. They would complete this referral form and they would have their admin fax it to me. If you are a healthcare professional, a nutrition professional, hopefully you're using an EHR, that's how we got these referral forms sent to us. We printed them and we put them inside of the binder according to who referred us and we followed up. Now imagine if you're calling the patient to say, Dr. Jones has just sent us a referral for you to come and see us. We would love to set up an appointment with you to have your initial consult. That doctor has just conferred their kind of expertise and recommendation to you. There's like no selling that you have to do. Right? Most of these people, I would say more than 90% of the people that we called did book an initial consult. We were an insurance-based practice, so we had their insurance information. We put everything on this pad. Does anybody have any questions on this? Jacqueline is asking, how to get doctor referrals is my biggest obstacle. Jacqueline, do you take insurance in your practice? I would say that that is probably one of the biggest barriers when I hear colleagues say that. It's hard to get referrals from doctors if you don't take insurance. The secret there, and it's not really a secret, is that you need to find physicians and practitioners who also do not take insurance. So if you don't take insurance, and let's say you want to work with a concierge doctor, that's going to be key, because those patients are used to self-pay. So you can find those types of practitioners in your area. I'm sure that there are some, but it really is going to, you know, determine whether or not you take insurance. For me, a doctor in my area would not even speak to me if I didn't take insurance. So once we became credentialed with the insurance companies, then the referrals just started to come. Jacqueline says, yes. So if you take insurance, Jacqueline, there's absolutely no reason why this should not work. And Jacqueline, maybe some of the other strategies that I share with you today will be helpful in you establishing that relationship with the referring physicians. So establish a referral process. Have this form, get it together. And I also, in the library, provide you with the referral process. Like what happens from the time that physician fills out that form or their nurse practitioner fills out that form and then it gets sent to you, what happens and how do you follow up? There's a process to do that. Another benefit, and Jacqueline, this will be great for you. If you take insurance, sometimes the insurance companies will question you. Why, you know, did you have a doctor's referral for this patient I sure do. Just go to my binder, find the referral, and send it over to the insurance company. Our insurance biller loved this process because it helped us with collections on insurance payments. Because the doctor, I had their signature, I had their MPI number, and I had their diagnosis, the diagnostic code. So it worked out great for a lot of different reasons. All right. Now, if you have any other questions about the referral process or really anything that we're going to be covering today, and you're watching this as a recording, please make sure that you tag me inside of the recording and let me know specifically what you're referring to. All right, now we're going to talk about hosting breakfast and learns. Many of you might know these as lunch and learns. Here's what I've learned about lunch and learns. It's very common for pharmaceutical reps to bring lunch for the office, and pharmaceutical companies have tons of money. So these lunches were, big spreads, super expensive, kind of really hard to compete with, quite honestly. And so we had to find a different way, and breakfast and learns worked really well for us for a variety of reasons. Number one, they were quite affordable. We would do an oatmeal bar, just kind of like a buffet, where we would have overnight oats that were soaked, really simple, right? Overnight oats that were soaked probably with some chia seed and just a basic vanilla base. And then we had all kinds of toppings, fruits like strawberry, kiwis, blueberries, blackberries. And then we would also offer things like granola and chocolate chips and nuts, things like that. We would also provide recipes from our meal plans. It was a huge hit. We brought mason jars, which are very inexpensive, and everybody made their own, and they could either eat it there or they could eat it later in the day, but they could assemble their overnight oats or single serving overnight oats for themselves. That was very effective. That initial call, look, you're going to hear no a lot. you're not going to call 10 doctor's offices and have all 10 say, yes, please come to a breakfast and learn. But maybe of five, one or two will say, sure, we really do need support for our patients, and we'd love to have you come in and share some information about your services. Now, once you get a breakfast and learn scheduled, like doing the food piece is really not that difficult, but make sure that you really add value to the conversation. Don't just go in, do the breakfast and learn, and drop off your cards. That's not going to work. The cards will end up in the garbage. You need to go in with just a brief kind of selling point, right? Your unique value proposition. For those of you who have not completed a unique value proposition, go into your library and get that done. We provide a lot of information around building your strategic plan, and the unique value proposition is one piece of that. So really know what value you're going to be bringing to the practice. What do these doctors want to hear? Every doctor, every doctor's group is going to be different. For example, we did a presentation for a bariatric surgeon. Now, nutrition services are mandated prior to somebody having bariatric surgery. So one of the dietitians who worked with us in our practice, that was her specialty, and it represented quite a bit of revenue for her practice. And so this was really important to her. We did a breakfast and learn. We went and, they are concerned about very kind of key metrics, like what needs to happen as part of this nutrition counseling process. And we went in and said, we can absolutely support your patients with meeting these goals so that they can be approved for the surgery. And this is not limited to bariatric surgery. It really could be anything. So we also worked with fertility doc. I told you that already. The conversation there was very, very different. We actually did a lunch and learn because that was what that practice preferred. So it was a bit of a risk. We did, we made it here in the Living Plate kitchen and we brought it to the practice. It was like a quinoa salad. So still pretty low cost, but I knew with that fertility doc, she was going to fill the room. And we had her entire team. It was mandatory that they come to this lunch and learn and we talk to them. Their goal is to make the dream of getting pregnant come true for as many people who walk in their doors as possible. And they know that nutrition can play an important role in that. So we laid that out. We spoke to that you know, to their specific pain points, that we can be your solution, right? So don't just go and say, hey, I'm a, you know, dietitian or, you know, a nutrition specialist or, you know, whatever your credential is, a nurse practitioner, and I'm going to help your patients. You have to get more specific and address their pain point. All right. So first one, let me just share this. I'm going to add this to the stage again. If you scroll down, you'll see breakfast and learns. I actually take you through kind of some strategies for breakfast and learns. They're convenient for the practice. So these were the kind of the benefits that we found with breakfast and learns. Very convenient for the practice because it's at the beginning of the day and it doesn't disrupt the day. Cost effective for you and people love it. It's very different. And then I give you some tips for success for your presentation. And again, by hosting these breakfast and learns directly at the physician's offices, you're going to foster an environment of mutual respect and collaboration, right? You're showing up, they're getting to meet you so that when they fill out that referral form, they know who their patients are going to be seeing. So let's move on to, I'm going to share my screen here too, because this is pretty cool. All right, I am going to share another screen with you because this is really cool. I'm going to show you a case study. So this is a case study for the next strategy for growing your practice outside of social media. And this is doing a collaborative email blast. We did this pretty regularly with the health department in our town. And I mean, that was just so interesting, right? Like, who would have thought? And it just came to us because I met the director of the health department who happened to be a dietitian. And she's like, hey, do you guys do, you know, nutrition presentations? We'd love to have you host for a year. I'm like, yeah, we can do that. And then we would also leverage her email list. Now, the health department has a very extensive email list because think about it. They run events and, you know, health initiatives throughout the year. So they had a very extensive email list. So when we would host an event, it would go out to everybody. So that is one way to do some type of a collaborative email blast. Here is another. And I just thought this was so genius. Our friends, Elisa Scaputo and Ellen Petrosino, who are dietitians who used to work here at Living Plate, they now have their own group called Nourish and Thrive. They established a detox challenge for the beginning of the year. And they reached out to their referring docs saying, hey, we would love to offer this detox challenge, you know, totally evidence-based. Now, they already had a relationship with the doctors, so the doctors felt very comfortable with them offering this. And they provided the doctors everything that they needed to send out this email blast, like the subject line, the content, the links, and everything. And they were the beneficiaries of sending this. Let me just advance the slide so that you can see what it actually looked like. So this is the email that they sent to the docs. You know, I'm sure they gave them a heads up first saying that they, or maybe they called them or visited them saying, we're going to be running this challenge. We'd love to offer it to your patients. Here is all of the content. That's really small. I'm sorry. but you'll have access to this inside of Living Plate. This is actually part of the Elevate Your Practice webinar that we have. Hillary, if you have that sign up page, you can drop that here too. For those of you who are members, Elevate is inside of your library. So you can use a newsletter email collaboration with a referring doc and offer something. It doesn't have to be a challenge. It doesn't have to be a course. It could be something really simple. Maybe you want to do like an email series, right? Offering recipes, you know, four recipes to support your fertility journey, four recipes to get you ready for your bariatric surgery, four recipes that can support you with following a low FODMAP diet. Like it, you know, again, whatever your focus is where you're going to land. Oh, Hillary, thank you so much. Thank you for that. So Hillary just dropped in a link for Elevate Your Practice, which takes you through not just that case study, but others as well. All right, so ways that you can grow beyond social media. We covered establish a solid referral process, host breakfast and learns, for a lot of reasons I give you, doing collaborative email blasts. And then here is our next one, which is host community events. Now, what I have to say is not necessarily popular with some of my colleagues who believe that we need to charge for everything to establish our worth. And I don't, in principle, disagree with that. I think that obviously we do have to charge our worth and we have to be able to earn a decent living. But hosting for all community events isn't necessary to drive practice growth. Remember, I told you we used to work with the health department very closely. And now my colleagues, Elisa and Ellen, they work with our partner at the health department. They host community events. They don't charge the health department for those community events. But guess what? When you host a community event as part of like a partnership, you are going to leverage a lot of things. You're going to leverage their expertise. You're going to leverage their know, like, and trust factor, and you're going to leverage their email list and their reach. And it, what for us, it went even beyond an email list. The health department would put out folding signs, like sandwich boards on like the highway in town saying, you know, nutrition for cancer protection on Thursday night, come to the library, whatever it was. Like they drove traffic in a variety of ways and it worked. The very first event that we did with the health department, we had over 100 people show up. 100 people. We were prepared because people registered. And guess what? When they registered, we got the emails. So it's a great way to build your email list too. So you don't necessarily have to charge for these community events. Sometimes you can, like if you're doing it for a financial group and they have a budget and they, you know, they want to serve a, you know, a smaller group where you're not likely to drive a ton of business, then, you know, maybe there is going to be a fee. And the way you determine your fee, we had this conversation in our Facebook group recently. The way that you determine your fee is to truly add it all up, create a spreadsheet. You know what your value is per hour, and you're just going to start building out the time to plan for the event, to create the content for the event, to go shopping, because you're going to be doing a culinary nutrition event, hopefully, to do the shopping for the cooking demo, to create the evaluations, the follow-up, all of that figures into there. And it's very easy to come up with a total. When we did community events that we charged for, or for organizations like nonprofits that had grant funding, we always provided that breakdown. I would never just say, oh, we're going to charge, you know, $1,750 for this event. Well, how did you get to that number is what they're going to ask anyway. So you might as well give them the details, you know, create a scope of work in your Living PlatRx library. You're going to find your scope of work inside of your business tools section. You're going to want to create that. And then I also have a spreadsheet for you to determine pricing for these types of events. We're halfway through now. Is there anything here that is resonating with you? Just type it in. Is it going to be an event, an email, breakfast and learn, referral? Tell me which one you're going to do first. You don't need to attack them all at the same time. Let me just pause here and say, at the beginning of this strategy call, I noted what the biggest mistake was, right? Being on social media because you feel like you have to. And the mistake is that it's not part of your strategy. What I see happening a lot is that we just spread ourselves too thin. If you're doing a little of this and a little of that, you're not going to get the kind of growth that you deserve, right? So if you're dabbling in social media and you're dabbling in, you know, community referrals, you're not likely going to find tremendous success in either one of those buckets. So make a decision, right? You can just do very limited work on social media and really lean into one of these. So Nancy is going to say she's trying the referral strategy. Andy's going to try a community event. Andy, I'm so excited for you. I loved community events. I just loved it. It was so great to connect with the people whose problems I was solving and our team was solving. They were always really engaging and really great and show up to book appointments, because a certain percentage of the people who show up in that room are going to work with you. We took insurance, so it was very easy for people to say, yes, I want to come and see you. My insurance is going to pay for it. I'm coming. Absolutely. So if you don't take insurance, just make sure that you're getting in front of the right people. Maybe the health department isn't going to be the best collaborator. Maybe it's going to be a concierge doctor, right? Or a group of concierge doctors. That would be a better target market if you're self-pay. So you're seeing how this works. All right. So host community events. We're going to move on to something really simple, but I learned a big lesson about this. Optimize your Google profile. I didn't even know I had a Google profile. And I work with Stephanie Hoffenke at String Marketing. She's like, you know, you have a Google profile. You have people who are giving you testimonials. You should really start posting them or getting them to post on Google to boost your Google business profile. The lesson is the first thing people are going to do when they hear about you is Google you, or they're going to look you up. That's why you have to be somewhat present on social media. They're going to either look you up on Facebook, Instagram, or they're going to Google you, and your Google business profile is going to appear. Now, if you don't have a business Google profile or Google business profile, that might be a barrier for them working with you, because they want to, you know, we do it too, right? If you're going to a new city and you want to find the best restaurant in town, what do? You Google it. And if one has 5 stars and one doesn't even have a profile, where are you going to go? You're going to go to the 5-star restaurant, right? So that is why it's super important to maximize your Google business profile. Really, really easy to do. Make sure that you have a Google account, number one. And then once you have your profile established, so here are collaborative emails. Oh, I just skimmed right over this. Hosting community program, I give you lots of tips here. So make sure that you get access to this ebook. We've dropped the link for the Instagram post, which looks like this, to comment grow so that you can get access to this. It's immediate access. Okay, so optimizing your Google business profile, here it is, right? So I give you a few reasons why I believe that you should optimize your Google business profile and kind of the steps to do that. You want to claim and verify your listing, pretty simple to do. Complete every section, give as much information as you can. Do not give your home address or your cell number, or you want to make sure you have a business address. If you don't have one, you're going to need to buy one. And for phone number on Google, if you have a private practice number, fantastic. If you don't, you can use Google Voice, which is very easy to set up. It's essentially a phone number that is going to be routed back to your cell phone, but people won't actually have your cell phone number. So you can do that too. You want to make sure that you're in the right categories, add a detailed description. That detailed description should be part of your unique value proposition. Tell people exactly how you're going to help them, not, oh, I'm a registered dietitian specializing in GI health. That's great to know, but tell them a little bit more. You want to upload high quality photos. I do believe that social media is also part of your Google business profile. So just make sure there's some high quality posts every now and then. And then utilize the post feature to share updates. And then make sure that you're collecting and managing reviews. It is incredibly simple to get reviews. If any of you have seen it, and if you haven't, I'm going to share this with you. If you go into a business, sometimes they have like a QR code to say, hey, leave us a Google business review, where you just scan it and you type in a review. That's pretty easy. What's easier though is to take a testimonial that you've already had, send that person an email with a link to say, could you please post this testimonial, right? Just give them what the testimonial was. If it needs to be edited, you could do that too. You could say, I've edited the testimonial. If it's okay with you, please copy and paste it to using this link to my Google business review. It takes minutes and it's a really effective and simple way to build your Google profile. So really, really important. All right. Any questions so far? Here we go. We're moving on to our next strategy for growing your practice beyond social media, and that is hosting free webinars. Now, free webinars are ubiquitous, so you need to bring a really high value free webinar for somebody to opt into it. And you're going to be speaking to your ideal customer avatar, generally solving one, maybe two really big problems for them pretty quickly. Free webinars can be hosted on social media, but you don't necessarily have to do the work. I'll tell you how that works. In my community, there are many private Facebook groups, but there are two that are huge and powerful. They're almost like action groups. Like if one group decides that like a stop sign needs to happen at this, you know, intersection, like it's probably going to happen because that's how powerful they are. So we made sure that we connected with the admins of both of these Facebook groups and we got permission to post free webinars. Now, if you're delivering high value, most likely they're going to say yes. And, you know, it's not like a pitch fest, right? You don't want to be just selling your services, you know, upfront in the webinar. You're really going to want to provide value. The benefit is that you're going to be collecting email addresses because people have to register. So you post the landing page inside with a link, right, and an image inside of these Facebook groups, and just watch the signups happen. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people. That's how we initially built our email list here at Living Plate, just by posting in these private Facebook groups. And I would offer at least 4 per year. I didn't go nuts with it, but at least 4 per year. And it was just a 1-hour webinar that was a duplication of the on-site that I did. So I'm not really duplicating my efforts. I'm just providing it in a different venue, right? I'm just going online. But again, I'm not hosting it on my social media. I'm actually leveraging my partners. You could also, let's say that you specialize in fertility nutrition and there is a fertility doc that you want to collaborate with, if they have a social channel or they have a private Facebook group, that you could even create a buy a Lucite stand and create a flyer for your event with a QR code so that patients can sign up for the free event. Lots of ways that you can leverage a free webinar to drive practice growth. Marsha is saying that she's going to work on targeting physicians with a referral pad. Wonderful. Jeremy, same thing. Yep. The referral strategy works. Solid, solid, proven strategy. And, you know, referring has been around for years. The problem is that the market just got flooded and, you know, the doctor's offices, like, they get business cards all the time. People stopping in and they drop off a stack of very expensive cards that you had, you know, made on Moo, and now they end up in the garbage. They're not going to be handing out business cards, but just getting really specific, elevating your level of services by using those prescription pads and those referral pads is definitely the way to go. All right, I think that was it. Let me just go back, make sure that I covered everything. Okay, host free webinars, lots of information there about how you can do that. You can do a partnership and collaboration. I partner now with Today's Dietitian, so it's fantastic. I have offered webinars on my own before, but it's always better if you can do it as part of a partnership and collaboration where not only you are going to benefit, but the person you're collaborating with is going to benefit. Let's say that you're a performance nutritionist. You can approach a gym to say, I have this presentation that I can deliver on site. We can do it virtually, whatever you want. Let's work together and add some value for your membership, you know, for people who are part of your membership, maybe even to drive membership. All new signups in the next 2 weeks are going to get a free discovery call and this free webinar, something like that. So just keep adding value, value, value. Here you can see on the free webinars, you're going to hit up some online communities and forums, local partnerships. Make sure that you advertise your free webinar in your email signature whenever you're sending out emails. The referral program that we talked about, encourage your current email list and contacts to refer friends to your webinar. That's really great. And then paid advertising, if your budget allows, with, you know, Facebook ads. I have significant experience running Facebook ads, both locally and nationally, and they're very effective, right? They help you scale very, very quickly, but you need to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you can waste a lot of money. But know that you can advertise a webinar, you know, for pretty low cost, and you can keep it regionally. You know, people within a certain area, if that is, like, if you're licensed in a state, you don't really want to get people nationally, right? You really want to get people who are close to you. We have covered the 6 steps to drive practice growth outside of social media, or kind of beyond social media. Remember, the biggest mistake is thinking that you have to be on social media because it's not part of your strategy. If it's part of your strategy, make sure that you get the support and you lean into that to make sure that you can drive practice growth, because that's a whole different animal. That you're going to be spending time in your DMs, you're going to be spending time having those kinds of conversations, you're going to be creating content, you're going to be doing collaborative events, which is all great if that's part of your strategy. Or you're going to be really focusing on growing your practice on the ground. And that's different. Don't spread yourself too thin. I want you to really focus. And I think this was a great conversation to have today. Thank you so much. If you're watching the recording, make sure you tag me if you have any questions. Great to see you. Have a wonderful week.
Your content cure for this week is the 15-page ebook that we referenced during our strategy call. It's called Beyond Social Media, 6 Ways to Expand Your Practice. The link is in the show notes.
That's it for today. Thank you for joining me. I trust that you found value in this episode.
Be sure to follow this podcast and remember to download your resources in the show notes. Visit us at livingplaterx.com for complete show notes and access to all the evidence-based nutrition content you need to create a thriving practice that serves up the most delicious and irresistible content your clients are looking for. And don't forget to tune in again next Tuesday as we continue to explore the latest trends in nutrition content marketing.